I'm Alex Cox.
And I'm Maddie Cox.
This is a queer podcast about gender, our minds, and all sorts of transitions.
Welcome to Two-Headed Girl.
You brought to me the idea of doing a holiday episode. And at first I was hesitant only because everyone kind of does the holidays can really suck for queer people. But then you won me over because I think you have a lot of concrete advice to share with especially the youths out there who are either coming out to their family for the first time or bringing home a partner for the first time. Just stuff that I haven't thought about in so long because we've been together so long.
Yeah, but we've also experienced like all those milestones together. And all of them around the holidays, like originating around the holidays. So that's been, I think that's why I wanted to make this episode.
We kind of have two different audiences in this show, which I love. We have a cis audience and a trans and queer audience.
So what we're going to do is talk about what happened to us during holiday parties and gatherings, and then give advice on how the cis person could have made it better, like how I wish the cis person in that situation would have responded.
And we can talk about how you would respond differently now in hindsight if you feel like you have grown from the experiences.
Oh, definitely.
You go to a lot of holiday functions as a child, as a spouse, as a co-worker. What happens to you when someone misgenders you? What's your first response?
Well, I think I need to take it in stages because my first response, when I first came out as trans, it was Thanksgiving 3 years ago, and we were with your family, and they already knew, and they were already great about it, and they apologized, and like they were super accepting. So I didn't really have a response because they
wrote... What do you mean by they apologized?
Oh, like if they messed up my name or pronouns, they would apologize and correct themselves right away.
And how did they do that? Do you think they did it in a good way or an awkward way?
I think they did it great because they didn't do it around everyone else. They did it when we were just talking one-on-one. So like when we were in a circle opening presents with everyone, if they slipped up, they didn't do it in front of the whole group of people. They would just do it when we were talking one-on-one. And that made me feel much more comfortable.
I didn't know that they did that. Good job, mom and dad and family. My biggest thing is usually when people ask me, I'm like, don't make it like a TED talk. You don't need to sit down and be like, this is why I messed up your pronouns and your name, and here is why I won't do it again. Just play it cool.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be a big thing. Just apologize and move on.
Yeah.
And do better. That's the main thing I'm trying to say is cis people, if someone has just come out or you're just seeing them for the first time around the holidays, because that's usually when we see our family the most, don't make a big deal out of it, especially in a room full of people. And if you have questions, take the person aside and ask. Like, don't do it in front of a group full of people. That is just the worst thing you can do, especially if that person doesn't want to be out to everyone in the family. Like, maybe they don't feel safe to be, but they trust you enough to be out to you. Ask them. Don't just assume.
And it doesn't need to be a big, you know, like a secret sleuth spy mission. I think we put a lot of emphasis on privacy and respect, but it's easy to just be like, you know, pull someone aside and be like, hey, does this person know you're out? What pronoun should I be using? Kind of how you'd be like, hey, do you want ice in this drink? Like, it doesn't need to be this big, I need to talk to you on the back porch in 0600 hours. You
know what I mean? Don't create more anxiety than there needs to be, basically.
What advice do you have to the youths who are just coming out? Or maybe this is the first time they've interacted with their family after coming out because it's the holidays and it's when we see each other.
Yeah, so I have a lot of advice with this, but not exactly like experience. I've done research, but considering I came out as gay at 17 and experienced that part of my life for the first time at another holiday event.
Let's go. What was it like?
It was, my family was not educated on queer theory. I was 19. I was just home from college. They made a bunch of offensive jokes. Like, they asked me, how could you be gay now that you've dated, you know, men all throughout high school? Why did you make this decision? Like, it was the worst. So I am an only child. I don't like to upset my family. I have a problem with that. Like, I've discussed it in therapy, but I kind of just avoided it and shrugged it off instead of being confrontational. And I would handle that situation 100% differently now, but it was really, really rough.
I believe in never punching down, but my family is, it's basically an entire punching down on, like we're all smashing down on one another. And I think there is going to be people listening to this in like that is how their family interacts, and it can be an awkward line to balance. Growing up, you know, the mid-aughts, my brothers and I would constantly call each other and everything gay. Like, we would always call everything gay. And so when I came out as gay, they're still uncomfortable about it, but like they're uncomfortable around cis women. Like, they're dumb boys. It's everything that isn't Fortnite and Halo makes them uncomfortable. So they still make a lot of gay jokes, but the kind of way that now as millennials and Gen Zers call things gay in a endearing way.
Which I don't think they do anymore, actually.
They do, but
oh, you mean like gay seal? Like happy about the gay? Like, ooh, celebrating the gay.
Yeah, like when you and I hug, they're like, oh, gay.
But they mean, that's cute.
Yeah, and that can be really hard, though, when you're first coming out.
I think
it made me really uncomfortable when I had, you know what I mean? Like, they just kept pointing out, like, hey, there's a gay couple in this Christmas movie. That's a bad example, because I don't know a Christmas movie with a gay couple.
I think you have to read the room and the situation. From my personal experience, you have to make allowances for certain family members to get on the same page. Kind of like, sometimes you just ignore your racist uncle or whatever because you see them once a year and you just like live with it. So you have to read the room and see if you feel safe, or if do you want to make that confrontation, or because you see them once a year, do you just want to like ignore them and not respond or interact with them because they're being insensitive?
Mm-hmm. Because there are times where I have had that confrontation with people in my family, but it was because, one, I was safe, two, I was sticking up for my partner, and, you know, I felt that there was something good that could come of this conversation. I avoid stuff with, you know, the homophobic uncle every year because he's not interacting with any queer people. And it's not that I feel unsafe, but it's emotionally exhausting. Why should I, or you, if you're listening to this, put so much emotional energy in trying to educate a mean old man who is not going to change and who is going to make your holiday shitty if you try to be like, so, Judith Butler, you know what I mean?
If there are those like crappy family members, mm-hmm. see if there's any allies in your family, especially if it's the first time you're with them since you've come out. Mm-hmm. My advice mm-hmm. to the youths, or even anyone that's just come out, like if you know Auntie Jay or whatever is really liberal, like feel it out, approach that person about queer topics. And then if you're like, oh, I feel safe in this situation, then it might be okay to come out. But if Auntie Jay is a blabbermouth, then maybe don't do that, you know? So I feel like it's about finding those allies, especially if you have younger siblings, younger cousins, like those people, it's probably going to be safer to talk about queer issues or come out around because they've probably got either a queer person they know or like have been around queer people.
Speaking of family parties in general, dressing up was always a huge source of anxiety for me, especially Oof. For Christmas and Easter when you need to wear a dress to church, because of course you do. I'm a proper young lady. Of course I must wear a dress. And that was always a huge point of contention, and I just went with it. Like, I was like, okay, fuck this. I'll do it, fine. Whereas now, you know, I'm going, as a 29-year-old, I'm like, no, Mom, not going to do it. No, not happening.
I'm going to wear jeans and my sweater from Old Navy.
Well,
and you're going to deal with it.
I do try to dress up, but not, you know, I'm not going to femme myself for baby Jesus. Like, it's not worth it. It's not worth my own stress and anxiety. And I'm close enough and lucky enough that by making that decision, my family is not going to disown me or give me any crap. Well, no, of course they're going to give me, my mom's going to give me crap, but she gives me crap for swearing. If we swear on this podcast, she gets herself in a tizzy. So, you know, it's all about the safety you feel. But so for you, what did you do before you were out as trans, but your family knew that you were a, you know, quote, tomboy, you didn't like dresses. How did you navigate that when you were younger?
I started just changing my wardrobe myself. So I actually think it started with, I was in an orchestra, we used to have Christmas concerts, and I would be in middle school, you had to wear a skirt. You had to wear a long skirt. You had to wear like a blouse. And then the dress code changed. This was, oh God, back in 2004. So in 2004, they were like, oh, girls can wear pants now. It took that long.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I chose to wear pants. And all my friends around me when we were 14, 15 were like, oh, we can wear ties now to this concert. Let's not wear cummerbunds. Let's wear ties. And I think that felt...
Wait. Do I not know what a cummerbund is?
A cummerbund's like a little sash, like a little belt that you have to wear around and under your jacket for orchestra. Look it up. You'll see what it is.
So girls had to wear that
cummerbunds
with a skirt?
With a skirt with a blouse.
Oh God. Clothes are weird.
Yeah. So when the dress code changed, my friends and I were all like, yeah, let's wear ties and pants. And that's when I realized, like, I could embrace whatever I want to wear. And, of course, my grandparents made comments about it, like, oh, look at that person in the, you look like my grandson now, not my granddaughter. Like, why are you wearing pants? You're supposed to dress up. And I think from then on, I was like, I'm 14. I dress myself. I can wear what I want. And then to family functions, I started wearing pants. And I would still like wear a blouse or something. But from then on, for family, even family pictures, in my grandpa's, I was looking at his card for his 80th birthday, his birthday was a couple days ago. And I was looking at it and I wore pants. I wore pants because I wanted to. So I think that was a pivotal moment in my life where I was like, I can dress up how I want for big events. And no matter what they say, like, it's not going to affect me because I have agency over my own body. And I realize a lot of people can't do that, especially like trans youths. Like, they're just expected to wear dresses and it's awful and it makes you feel so depressed. I got the best advice ever from my gender therapist, actually. If you're expected to dress a certain way, so let's say you're a trans mask and you're, you know, 10, 12, and you're expected, you're you know, even a teenager expected to wear a dress. Mm-hmm. The way to do it is, I've heard, like, pretending like you're an actor and you're acting in a play. Like, pick your favorite, like, female character from a show or something. And, or even wear one piece of clothing that's, like, opposite gender. So maybe wear a watch mm-hmm. that's a little more masculine, or pick a color for your outfit that's a little more masculine. Wear Docs with your dress if you can. Like,
that's
like
badass.
Any little thing, and then focus on that tiny thing that can make you feel gender affirmed, because sometimes a little thing is all it takes to make it better, you know?
Absolutely. I'm constantly questioning my own gender, and I'm always like, I don't know. But before coming out to my family, I would always wear more traditionally masculine clothing. And I think that was kind of why they knew I was gay before I did, because that was, you know, just some like some tiny signals of, yeah, wow, Alex really is just always gonna wear pants, huh? Oh, I guess Alex is over in the boy section again. All right, sure. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I could say, like, oh, it's because I like the Pokemon shirts more and the Star Wars shirts more. Remember, everybody, in the mid-90s and mid-thousands, mid-aughts, whatever we're calling them now, there was nothing like that over in the pink area, which is, I think, a good place to transition into gift giving and receiving.
Oh, man. Yeah. Grandmas, aunts, they all like giving you those dresses, pink fluffy sweaters, makeup kits from Walgreens, what have you. Even when I was like an early teen and I had just come out.
Teens.
A late teen and had just come out. Like, I was like, oh, thanks. And then I would be like afterwards, hey, mom, do you want this? But also I would, if I got gendered gifts that I didn't want, I would either give them to my mom or like a female cousin, or I would ask my mom if we could go to the store and exchange them. And I would like take my makeup kit and then get a video game, you know?
Did that clue her in to anything, you think, about your preferences in expressing your gender?
I don't know if at the time, because of how I was raised, I don't think so. And also, I just never really liked makeup. But, like, gendered clothing, especially bright colors, I was never into, like, bright pink, bright yellow, stuff like that. I've always liked, like, red, dark greens, blues, like, more dark and neutral colors. So I think my mom would just see it as like, oh yeah, that's not your style, so that's totally fine. And I think exchanging gifts is a really good way if you're not out or you're stuck with all the gendered gifts, you know what I mean? Like, because you don't have to be stuck to them. Or trade, you got a brother who is knows you're out or got something cool, be like, hey, do you you want this? I don't know.
I hate to say it, but you've really got to become an expert in faking enthusiasm for gifts that it's not that you're not grateful, it's not that you're like, I wish I had this in blue. Like, the trans and queer kids who are listening to this get what I'm saying. Like, you're going to get gifts sometimes that honestly can trigger dysphoria, and it sucks. And sometimes, you know, I hate to say, like, sometimes you just need to bottle it up and be like, oh my God, grandma, thank you. But I did that for years and years because I was not ready to talk about any of that. And it's kind of, I realize it's sort of like what you did with your mom. The way that I presented myself, that kind of clued my mom in on what I liked. And then it kind of would permeate through the family when my aunts and uncles would ask, what does Alex want for Christmas?
Exactly.
It was easy for her to be like, no dresses, no dresses, no makeup, nothing pink. and we're making blanket statements here, but
yeah,
I think it is okay to lie about how much you like something.
And for the cis people listening, like, if you have a queer youth in your life and they're not out or you don't know, ask them, preferably not in a room of people, maybe text them. Or if they say they just want gift cards, please just give them gift cards. Like, there are those family members that are like, no, I want to get you a physical thing. But
my family.
But, like, if this person, especially if they're not out to everyone, if they can't advocate for themselves, if there is a queer person in your life at all, not just necessarily a youth, and they're like, please just get me a gift card to this place. First of all, don't question it. If it's to, like, let's say it's a 10-year-old boy and he wants a gift card to Claire's, do it. Just, like, say, okay, it's just, or give them money. Like, sometimes my grandparents just put a $15 bill in my card and they're like, here, use it on groceries or something. And then you could use it on anything. You don't have to think about it so hard. Like, there's yeah. not a reason to think about it so hard.
There's other things in the world than clothes and makeup. This is a capitalist society. Like, this hellscape we've created, it means that there's so many things you can buy for people. Gift cards and the color green are such a gift. Like,
exactly.
Starbucks.
My one family has no idea what I like. I'm not out to them, and they just, what do you want? Starbucks gift card. Yes. Here's Starbucks for the next 6 months. Yes. Do something like that. Lots of people like food.
And there, like, some people have come up to me and asked, I think my nephew is gay. What should I do? I'm like, just get him like a gift card to Target. Like, it's
right?
not.
You don't have to buy them a Barbie or something.
Yeah,
like, they just because a family member has come out as gay or trans or queer doesn't mean their personality has changed. Like, my mom said this to me. I have a Frozen tattoo. I am in love with Frozen. And my mom was like, I want to buy you all these Frozen 2 things, but they're so feminine. And I was like, well, do you want ideas or do you just want to buy me Frozen things? And if I don't like them, I can exchange them. I was like, I don't see Frozen as gendered.
I was actually thinking about this morning how my mom's like, so Santa's looking at this Star Wars website, and, you know, would you and Maddie potentially like any of these shoes? And so I sent her our sizes in both men and women's sizes, because that's how shoes work. And she was like, is it okay that the shoes I'm getting Matt, if I buy them in the women's sizes, they're the exact same shoe. It's just, if it's in women's sizes, it's a lot cheaper. And I'm like, yeah.
Also, I have small feet when it comes to men's sizes.
Not really. They're like average. But I thought it was very sweet of my mom to ask. Like, that's a polite question to ask, because maybe on the label, it's going to be like women's, what, I don't know what Santa is getting for us in terms of
no
our Star
idea.
Wars shoes, but it could be like women's Star Wars shoes. So I think that was a considerate question, because she assumed that you probably wouldn't care, but it wasn't like a, then she had, she questioned it. I thought that was a nice question.
But also, we are talking about, I think you've mentioned, we've generalized how everything is very gendered in our capitalist society. Obviously, you know, clothes don't have to be gendered, shoes especially, but unfortunately, they are in our society. This is the women's side. This is the men's side. There is no non-binary side. And it's all about who you are and your style and what you like. And that doesn't, sometimes it does change drastically when you come out, and sometimes it doesn't. And it's just about getting your family to, having them be able to read that or know that. Or if you don't want them to, asking for a gift card.
Oh, hey, and in terms of labeling gifts, what have you done when your birth name is on a package, or, you know, if somebody gets a package with their birth name or dead name on it?
I honestly didn't have to experience it. I was so lucky. After I came out, and the first Christmas I was out, I wasn't out to any of my family. But the next Christmas I was, and literally every present said Matt on it, and every card I've gotten since then. And I teared up. Like, it was amazing. And it's got to be so hard. Like, I can't imagine. And again, I feel like it's that thing where it's going to bring dysphoria and negative feelings. And unfortunately, sometimes it's unavoidable. If you feel safe in mentioning it to someone, like anyone, and maybe they could spread it around the family, like a nickname. Like, you don't have to say, hey, this is my new name. You could say, this is a nickname I want you to call me. Could you write it on my cards and my gifts? You don't have to make it a big deal. Again, you can make it a subtle thing.
And if your family is like mine and you give each other a lot of shit, you can always be cheeky and be like, Melissa, who's that? I actually remember the first Christmas morning that you were with us together. It was the first after we were married, and all of the kids and the spouses, we were all together Christmas morning. My mom had bought gifts in September before you were out and had them wrapped and labeled. And she looked at it and she was like, wait, hold on. And then Dave, give me the Sharpie. And like, because the majority of the gifts said Matthew, but there was like two that still said Melissa, because, you know, as a suburban mom, you know, Christmas is a full-time job throughout the year. So I just thought that was really cute.
Yeah, it was. I'm very lucky in that I have two sides of family that are very supportive.
And obviously, we are talking about Christmas because we're two Catholics who grew up and we have like six different Christmas parties to go to every year. But, you know, whatever holiday bullshit that you're into, I love our Christmas bullshit, but, you know.
This is advice for all holiday gatherings. We haven't talked about subtle cues for being in, like, not just family parties, but at, like, let's say a New Year's Eve party or a Friendsgiving or a work or friend Christmas party where you might be newly out or maybe not out at all, but you want to be more comfortable or more yourself in these settings. There are great pins with pronouns on them, or even just ask me about my pronouns. And there's like small, subtle ones. They make like really classy ones, like fancy ones that you could wear on your nice holiday clothes.
When you say classy or quote nice, you mean, I think, traditionally fancy, right? Instead like, of the...
like $3 enamel pins that are like black and silver on Etsy, yes.
Yeah, like we're not talking about, you know, incredibly fancy lapel pins that... Where do you buy lapel pins?
I mean, you can get those too, though.
Yeah. If you want to go all out on a pronoun lapel pin, you do you. But it's not like you're going to break the bank if you want a subtle little, what would you call this?
Either a subtle reminder or just a like, hey, this would be a nice thing that you could do for me.
That's a good gift for somebody, actually. You might want to run it by their partner or one of their friends, but a little pronoun doodad would be a good gift.
Yeah, I think I got you that as a gift last year.
Oh, yeah, you did. What do you do now with your family when they're just, let's say, forgetful, but really they're just suppressing the fact that you're trans and they continue to misname or deadname you?
Two of my favorite responses that I have now are, I don't respond if they say the wrong name.
That's or, very good.
Or my favorite, because it's also passive-aggressive, is I just say who until they correct themselves. Who? But I think it, you know, depends on how confrontational you want to be. Advice that I've learned is you shouldn't let your family make you feel bad or walk all over you. Like, there's no reason to go through that, especially if they know. I think giving them that little push or reminding them isn't a bad idea, because they're just gonna keep making you feel crappy if you don't say anything.
And if you're an adult and you have the financial freedom to not have to rely on anybody you don't need to go to these parties. You have no obligation to make people feel better about your own gender. We promise you are going to get through this holiday season. It might suck, but it's going to be okay. We promise.
We really appreciate you checking out the 6th episode of Two-Headed Girl. If you're enjoying the show, share it with a friend. You can find us at patreon.com/twoheadedgirlfm, which directly supports the show. We're doing a Q&A for our first episode of 2020. If you haven't yet, check the show notes for where you can submit questions or reach out on Twitter or Instagram at twoheadedgirlfm or email us at twoheadedgirlfm@gmail.com. If you'd like to hear more, head over to twoheadedgirl.fm or subscribe anywhere you find your podcasts, including our favorite independent app, Overcast, made by Marco Arment in his very well-lit office. It can get cold at this time of year, both inside and out, so remember to take care of each other if you can. Happy holidays, and thanks again for listening. Overcast, made by Marco Arment in his very well-lit office. Made by the...